Test. Testing. That doesn't sound so good.
I can't hear you. Hold on.
You hear me? Is it me?
Hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can't hear you.
Oh.
Say something now.
What about now?
Hey, let's fucking go.
Hey,
All
you
right,
hear me?
I'm eating. I figured it might take a minute to figure this out, but apparently it didn't.
No, it's all good. What are you eating?
Cottage cheese with hemp hearts. Avocado toast and watermelon.
All right, that's bro. That's clean, clean eating.
It's good to see you, man.
It's good to see you too, dude. Shit, you know what's funny? We haven't done this at all until 2 weeks before I fucking get there and I get to see you in person.
That's the way it
Hey,
goes.
it's not like we haven't been keeping in touch.
Yeah, no, we've been keeping in touch. You fuck with avocado toast.
Of course, man. It's like one of my favorite things on the planet. Oh, and I found a bread. It doesn't taste very good, but it's like 5 grams of carbs and 20 grams of protein.
Damn.
Yeah,
We
it's
need to
like,
talk about my experiments.
how does this microphone sound? Because it's coming off of the Bluetooth here. Does it sound
It
okay?
sounds, yeah, it sounds good. Does mine sound okay?
Yeah, yours is coming in super clear. Do you have a
Awesome.
mic? Are you using your microphone? Let me see it. Oh, sweet. Is it a Shure? Sure.
It's that Blue Yeti.
Oh, it's the Yeti.
Yeah, it was like $100.
It's good to see you. Actually see you.
Yeah, man. It's super good. It's crazy talking to you over there and the UAE.
It's weird because it feels totally normal until I think about it for a second and then it doesn't. You know?
Being there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Yeah. I mean, I'm coming up on 10 months.
that's crazy, dude. Is it was it August or
August.
September? Yeah.
August. Yeah, late August. I left August 19th or 18th and got here the 19th,
Yeah.
something like that. Yeah. Fucking
Nice.
14 hour. It was like total about 16 hours of travel.
Man, fuck all that shit.
Dude, it wasn't, so bad. It wasn't so bad. I got sat next to a baby and like new parents. And I was totally chill. I was like, okay, no big deal. You know, worst case scenario, I could hold the baby for a second. The stewardess came and she said, actually, we have an upgraded seat that you can take. That way they can have the road to themselves so then they can take care of the baby. And I was like, let's do it.
I'm out.
So it was like, it's just like extra legroom. But Etihad Airways already fancy. Like the seats were already fucking comfortable with plenty of legroom. I don't need a lot of legroom. So like when they gave me this seat and there was like an empty seat in between me and this other dude, it's great.
Man, I hate flying. Did I tell you the story about driving up to San Francisco and missing, like ditching my next flight from LAX? I met some dude on the airplane.
You did tell me, but I'd like to hear it again.
Gonna wait for a minute, or let's just go.
Okay. Well, wait, what do you, we can wait for what?
I guess
I thought
are
we.
we? I'm sitting here eating, so I'm like, I don't know how good that'll come off on, like,
Bro, you
sorry.
forget like the first five episodes you're eating. This is like on par, dude.
Well, let me turn my motherfucking self on then, brother.
You act surprised that I was recording already.
What you got there? Coconut.
Coconut Grove. It's my
Water.
favorite coconut
English.
water. Yeah, a lot of things are in English over here.
Interesting.
Well, there's you a little Arabic.
Oh,
This is probably like Some French brand. Netherlands.
It's fancy looking.
Yeah. Tastes good. Like of all the coconut waters that I've had, and it's not a lot of sugar, so
So,
we're trying to be healthy over here.
you know what I'm saying? Okay, so
Okay, wait.
you know I hate flying.
Yes, let's start there. I know you hate flying, but this is something that's come up like two or three times, and I never ask, I never press, I don't say anything. I think it's time for you to give me a little context as to why you hate flying. Is this
I
like
don't know.
a height thing, or is it a crash and burn thing?
You know, after thinking about it for a while, I think it's a control and trust issue. Like I don't like
A lack
trusting
of
people.
trust in humanity
Yeah. And I don't
and
have like
engineering.
yeah, I mean, yeah, but you've got the
I
mechanics, you got the fucking pilot. Like there's so many.
know enough about like
You
planes
were a
breaking
professional.
down, how often they fucking break.
Man, don't tell me
And
that shit. Lie to me, brother. I ain't never coming out to see you. You gotta lie to me.
these are old ass Air Force planes. We're talking about Etihad Airways. Oh, this is,
Beat Tom Cruise in that
you're
shit
gonna
out
be
on the beach.
fine.
Yeah.
Okay,
So
so you hate flying.
Yeah, so I think it's a controller trust issue or something. But I had a flight there a couple years ago. Actually, I'm going to tell you two flight stories real quick, and I'm sure you have some funny ones too. But all right, so I had to go to from Nashville to San Francisco, and there's not a lot of direct flights, so I had to. My boss at the time told me that I should fly into Los Angeles, which is like a 4 hour flight, and then fly up to San Francisco, which is like an hour and a half, something like that. So I get on the flight to LAX. There's kind of three things that I hate about flying. The first is taking off, the second is landing, and the third is the beeps and shit in the air. You know, when you're like in the air, it's like, I made the mistake of looking up what those bongs mean. And so if you hear three of those motherfuckers in a row, like bong, 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 that means there's an emergency, apparently. So it's like it as you're going up and you hear like the first bong, it means like you're over 10,000 feet. If you when you hear the bong bong, like two or something, I think it means like cruise altitude or something. You just may have never noticed it. It happens on every flight that I've ever been on. Like they communicate sort of like through Morse code, where they have like a couple bongs, boom, and it sounds like an elevator button, you know, like or an elevator when it's like ready to go. Like it's all right, we're here. So I would usually tune it out, but as I was researching flying, I wondered what those meant, so I looked it up. And when I saw that there's three, when I saw that three beeps means there's an emergency, and it basically is like stewardesses getting your seat and shit, and like, so now it's like when I'm on the flight, that's why it's the third, my least favorite part of flying, because when I hear two, well, when I hear one, I'm like, oh God, don't be a second beep. Then I hear a second beep, and then it's like,
Fuck,
oh God, please
dude,
don't be a third beep.
your whole flight is just like
Oh,
you're just a ball of nerves.
100%, dude.
Oh
One,
shit,
I have to
you're just
meditate.
listening for those bongs.
I have to meditate for the entire fucking flight. Like, I have to sit there and like get in my mind and concentrate on breathing and shit. Like, I don't like flying
Oh,
at all.
dude,
It might make it better.
because
One time I got drunk on a plane and it was okay.
my favorite part is the takeoff and the landing. I'm a 6-year-old. For me, I love it. And you know what? I really like turbulence. Like,
Hell no.
it like rocks me to sleep.
That's fucking crazy. That's absurd. There's something
I
wrong with you.
don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
You ain't ordinary, bro.
No, but that's okay. So then what happened? So
we're landing in LAX and I'm white knuckling the seat. I'm like sitting straight up. I'm like, you know, any little sound or bump and shit, I'm moving my head. Like, and I look over and the guy sitting on the other side of the aisle is doing the same shit I'm doing. And I was like, you don't like flying either. As we were doing this, and he was like, brother, I don't like this at all. And I was like, all right. And he was like, man, if we live through this, or somehow we got to talking. And I was like, we're both going to San Francisco after this.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, brother, if we survive this landing, how about me? And he was like this country dude from Columbia, Tennessee. And he was like, brother, if we survive this landing, how about we rent a car and drive up to San Francisco? And I was like, I'm in, dude, 100%. So we get off the plane. And he was going to San Francisco to golf. So he had like shipped his golf clubs. We get off the plane. And I was I was married at the time. And so was he. And so we both called our wives and we were like, listen, we're going to just drive up to San Francisco. And, you know, both of our wives were like, what the fuck do you mean you're just going to drive up to San Francisco? You have a flight. And they both were like, but what if he's a serial killer? We got off the phone and they were like, my wife thinks you're a serial killer. And then he's like, yeah, my wife thinks you're a serial killer. And I was like, I'm not a serial killer. And he was like, I'm not either. He was like, let's get this car.
I like that was enough.
Yeah, so
that really was enough. I mean, I guess in any movie, nobody asks a serial killer, are you a serial killer?
It's kind of like that old thing if you're doing like a drug deal.
Yeah, right. Are you a cop?
Are you a cop? They have to answer this.
Yeah, they have to answer. Well, okay, good. So then you were just operating off of that logic. So that's great. So he's not a serial killer.
I didn't care. I'd rather take my chance with a serial killer than an airplane.
Yeah, I can tell at this point.
So we drove up like the Pacific Coast Highway. That shit took forever, bro. Like probably 7 hours. I don't even know how long it was. Yeah. It was a long ass drive, dude.
It's a nice drive.
Yeah, it was wonderful drive. And he was like a mortgage broker or something. And he was explaining to me about like the inside tricks to get my credit good and all this kind of shit. And one of the funniest parts was when he called, we were flying Southwest. And he needed to get his golf clubs because he wanted to golf. And he was like, he called up their customer service line and he's like, yeah, my golf clubs are on a plane to San Francisco, but I'm not on the plane and I need to pick them up. And the lady was like, why aren't you on the plane? He's like, because I don't like flying. And she was like, huh? And he was like, I don't like flying. And it was like this whole conversation where she didn't understand. That
the motherfucker just would rather drive. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, so we ended up like he dropped me off at SFO, the San Francisco airport. And we had like this, it was almost like this bromantic fucking goodbye where we had just been on this adventure and we knew we were never going to talk to each other again. And it was just like, it was a beautiful moment where we were both cowards. We both realized that, you know, we had just been through something sort of insane.
You guys were trauma bonding.
We were trauma bonding. Exactly.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's what a great story. What's his name? That way we remember him.
Columbia man. Oh my god. I have his contact.
Bro, you don't know his name after that.
Yeah, isn't that
romantic
bad?
Story.
Maybe.
Had I not asked.
I want to give him that posterity. Blake Kelly. That was his name. Blake Kelly.
Blake Kelly, the mortgage broker.
Yeah, he looked like
a mortgage motherfucker. Yeah, like you mean like a mortgage broker that goes to San Francisco to golf?
Yeah, 100%. He looked like that.
So what else did you guys talk about on the trip? This is what I want to know because, you know, it's a long drive. You just met each other.
Yeah, I mean, it was just the drive up to California, like the scenery. We talked about mortgages. I'm sure I talked to him about computer programming because a lot of times people want to talk about like computer systems for some reason, or they give you app ideas. It's like,
Yeah.
and so it was just a
I
bunch
bet
of
you
shit.
get that a lot. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
awesome. Oh,
it was just a bunch of shit like that, but it was great. But the funny thing, the last time I flew, I was coming back from Portland, which this is an entirely different story. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, where I accidentally went into the wrong person's house for my Airbnb. Did I tell you about that? Oh shit. Well, we can save that for a different time since we're talking about flying here. But so I'm coming back from this trip that I left a day early because I was afraid I was gonna die if I stayed in Portland another day. As we're flying back to,
why did
huh?
you feel that? Why did you feel that way?
Oh, dude, I could go on about that trip. It was crazy. Just one trouble after another. Had a run-in with the police. My phone died while I was looking for my Airbnb, and I ended up thinking that I remembered where my Airbnb was and walked into somebody's house that was unlocked. And plugged my phone in and started charging it and turned on the lights and shit. And I saw a dog come out and it came up and started licking my leg. And I was like, and this was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, what the fuck? And so I walked down the hallway and opened up the door and there's some dude and a woman asleep in their bed. And I was like, this is not my
Oh
Airbnb.
shit, dude.
Yeah, dude. So I went and let my phone charge for like 5 minutes.
They are
And
not the most vigilant
no.
sleepers.
No, dude. See, I had gotten on, that's the time I got drunk on the plane because I was sitting in the back and there was like literally an entire sorority and me.
Oh, fun.
And we just drank the entire flight. And one of the girls had to get carried off the plane. I was toasted at that point. And I got on the subway, or it's like a above ground, like a train kind of, but more like a subway, but above ground, like not like an Amtrak train, but like a subway type style train. So I get off the plane with like 20 wasted sorority girls, and we're walking through the airport and want to go get more drinks and all this kind of stuff. One of the girls is getting carried by two of the girls. Like one has her under her arms, and then the other one is like wheelbarrowing her legs and walking her through the airport.
Jesus,
And
dude, it's like you leave Nashville to just end up seeing the same shit.
yeah, exactly. Like a pedal tavern drove through the fucking airport. So anyways, like we decided to get a couple more drinks, like a couple of them. And so we sat at the airport bar until it closed, and I was wasted at this point. And I got on like the subway deal, and I just kind of leaned back and I was like, all right, I'm home. Like, this is good. This is nice. I can sit down. I don't have to worry about anything. And I kind of start like dozing off or something. And all of a sudden, I feel somebody kicking my shoe. And I was like, what's going on here? And it's a police officer. And he's standing over me. And he's like, let me see your ticket. I was like, what do you mean, ticket? He was like, your ticket. You need a ticket to ride this. I was like, I didn't know that. I don't have a ticket, officer. And he's like, can you step out of the train? And I was like, fuck, I just got to Portland. It's at this point, it's probably like 1 in the morning, something like that. And I'm sitting out here with the police officer asking me for my identification.
Jesus, dude. What a night.
And so I was like, dude, I don't have a ticket. I didn't know. I'm from Nashville, and he was like, well, come here, buddy. And he like went and actually bought me the ticket.
Well, that's cool.
And or not, he didn't pay for it, but he like
He like helped you out.
I couldn't punch the buttons and shit, and so he punched the buttons.
What a
And
guy.
so that but that's when I got on the subway and went, and that's when my phone died, and I didn't know where to get off. Like, I thought I had a memory of like the streets and the directions and shit like that, but I didn't have my phone or anything, and I couldn't charge it in there. And so that's when I ended up like walking around Portland for like 2 or 3 hours to find this place. And somehow I finally did. And that's when I walked in on the house that but then On the way back, so I oh, and then a couple other things, like I don't know if I'll tell this on air, but I met up with some friends that I knew that are some unsavory types.
No, not you.
Yeah, not me. And we had a bunch of shenanigans that just weren't healthy for me.
That's the best part of the story, dude.
Yeah, but I was
That's
scared of going to jail
disgusting.
because weed's legal there, right?
Yeah.
So
It
part of it
wasn't.
was like, I'm gonna go get high. And
Okay.
so we're driving down the, I have one of my friends that's there, and we're driving down the road, and he's smoking a joint in his car, which I don't think you're allowed to do that.
I don't think
And
so either.
yeah, he has a bottle of syrup, which I didn't really mess with that, but like he had the hydrocodone cough syrup and shit, and he was mixing up like Sprite and shit and smoking a joint. And at this point, I'm like
This dude
a
was
family man.
partying, bro.
I'm like a fucking family man, you know what I'm saying? Like at the time where it's like, I'm have a job and a family and shit, and I'm riding down the interstate in Portland with this guy that's drinking scissor
No
and
shit,
smoking weed,
scissor,
and a cop comes up behind us and is like following us, and he was like, "Hold this." And I was like, "Okay." He's like, "My tags are expired." And I was like, what the fuck, dude? But the cop left us alone. Like, he never pulled us over, but it was enough for me to be like, I'm getting in too much trouble in Portland.
yeah, no shit.
Where
That's a lot.
I got on Southwest website and changed my flight. And I was like, I'm going home early from this shit. So then when we're flying back, there's a huge, huge thunderstorm in Nashville. And the pilot gets on and he's like, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna fly and pass Nashville in front of this thunderstorm. And then I'm going to turn into the storm and drop really quickly below the storm so we can land in Nashville. And I was like, I don't like, he's like, you're gonna feel some turbulence. I was like, I don't know if I like this.
Yo, that's not, you don't usually hear a pilot telling you like evasive maneuvers for a storm.
No, he
Like,
fucking he came on
he's
and
all,
explained we're about to
right,
feel
folks,
something.
this is what we're gonna do. This is what I'm thinking. Fucking,
Bro,
I'm turning off that autopilot. He's all, you know what?
that's exactly
I'm
what we
gonna turn
did.
off the radio too. I don't need to hear towers chatter in my ears. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna drop underneath that motherfucker. You're gonna feel something you've never felt before, and
That's
it's gonna be
exactly
fine. And we're gonna get you there on fucking time.
what he said, basically.
I love
And
it.
so I was like,
It's like a
this is
combat landing. See, you've done a combat landing.
So I was like, this is just my luck. After this fucking trip, I'm gonna die in a fucking thunderstorm while this guy tries to land a plane. And so, yeah, he banks the plane and you feel it like drop. And people start screaming. And all of a sudden, the plane just starts dropping. And people are screaming. The kid next to me literally, I swear to God, fainted. And I was
Jesus
like, I had a moment of clarity. It was weird. It was like, well, like all this buildup. And when it was like, I actually thought that I might die, and everybody that wasn't as scared of flying was all of a sudden scared of flying. Like there was
Oh,
shit.
what an equalizer, huh?
Yeah. There was like shit flying off in the overhead bins. There was fucking like shit was going everywhere, dude.
The
And
pilot's
people were
all woo.
screaming. Yeah. He's like, whoa, yeah. Needless to say, we were fine, but, that's the last time I flew. Was like, fuck that. Well, COVID kind of happened after that, which kind of curtailed a lot of my flying. So,
So what are you gonna do when you come visit me? You're just gonna
I can get on a plane. I just have to come to grips with my mortality.
if you just drugged yourself?
Dude, I would do that shit 100%. Like,
Oh, dude, it's a fucking 13-hour flight. I recommend it. I look forward to the day that you decide to come out here. I think that's gonna be a lot of fun.
I'll totally come. I can fly. I just don't like it. Like I was reading a story in a book today. Sorry, I'm talking a lot and I'm not giving you any opportunity to talk, but
I this is how I prefer this.
I was reading this book about it's called Cured, and it's really interesting. It's about a scientist that was studying spontaneous remissions in people.
Like they get diagnosed with, say, like stage 4 metastatic cancer, and they have 3 months left to live, but all of a sudden it like spontaneously remisses. And so he did all this research for like 20 years on the commonalities between spontaneous remissions. And it's a really fascinating book. So I was scrolling through the news today, and I saw something, an article that reminded me of the book that I was reading, because it was like the headline was like, neurologist changes his theory of consciousness after a near-death experience. And so I thought that sounded kind of interesting. I'm not huge on like near-death experiences or anything like that, but it sounded enough that if this guy's an expert, you know, and he's like had a near-death. Yeah, so I read it, and apparently he died for a couple minutes while he drowned, like while he was white water rafting. One of the things he said was that he had been afraid of water for as long as he can remember. And he kind of painted the picture that it was like he sort of knew the future, that he was going to drown, because he said that he would sit in class when he was bored and practice holding his breath because he knew one day he'd need it.
Whoa.
And so I read that shit and I was like, man, that's it. I'm dying in a fucking plane crash.
You know, earlier, I think I don't remember if it was you or somebody else. I think it was somebody else. We had just been talking. They were saying something about manifesting, like energy, and what putting energy into the same thing, right? Into the same kind of thought, and then bringing it. And then the conversation switched into something. They were like, I knew that shit was going to happen. Like, I just knew it. And I was like, okay, so was that thing going to happen and you knew that it was going to happen, like clairvoyance? Or was that thing not going to happen and you just knew that it was going to happen so much that it fucking caused it to happen? And they were like, no, that's fucking, yeah, like, did you make it happen? All of a sudden, manifesting was bullshit, and they were like, no, like, I knew it was going to fucking happen. And I was like, okay. I don't know if it was because I was making it sound like putting the responsibility on them. Like, oh, no, I didn't make that fucking happen. I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Different things.
That was an interesting, like, you bring up such an incredible point. I think you sort of nailed it there. Like, one of the themes of that book that I was telling you about, Cured, was that the people that do spontaneously remiss from these diseases tend to accept complete responsibility for the outcome, not necessarily the blame, if that makes sense. I don't think I'm going to die in a plane crash.
I don't think so either, dude.
Probability. I don't want to get too cocky, get cut down.
Yeah, man. I think you're going to like it out here. Although, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we're going to be doing much partying, because I don't drink anymore. So,
well, coincidentally, I don't drink anymore either. And I'm not dipping anymore either. So I'm just a fuddy-duddy.
Dude, you're so boring.
I know, right? I need to live.
That's great. And I'm sure you feel a lot better.
No, not really.
You feel the same.
Well, I mean, the drinking makes me feel bad. And that's why I tend not to do it.
Right.
The dipping never made me feel bad. And it didn't make me feel bad, like, better. I do think I sleep a little bit better. But other than that, like, it's not like.
It's not like smoking. I mean, smoking, you feel it. I think you feel it physically, like after a couple of weeks, you're just like, oh, okay, I could breathe. Yeah. Yeah. For me. So I came across this audiobook. I told you this. I came across this audiobook randomly called This Naked Mind, which I think you said you had heard of it or you had read it.
Yeah, I've read that as well. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm coming across some interesting reactions that the book mentioned was going to happen. Like, First of all, the understanding that when you stop drinking, people will look at it as, oh, this motherfucker had a problem.
Yeah, yep.
And the book talks about looking at it from a lens of what does it give you versus what does it take, right? And when you're talking to somebody who fucking like bartended, like I started drinking when I was like 14, 15 in Nicaragua and never really stopped. Like I party, like that's all me. That's like Freddy, right? At its core, it's just party. And alcohol is associated with that shit. Like all the time. But it's so subtle. If I think of a party, I think of a good time. I think of people being social, like seeing people that I haven't seen in a while. You don't think of the alcohol because it's just part, it's the fucking blood, right? It just, for me to be in a social situation and tell people I don't drink, they're like, oh, you must have finally fucking done something. And I've had plenty of times where I wake up just like, why the fuck did I say that? Or why did I do that? Or why did I end up fucking lost in an alleyway in Nashville? And, you know, like,
yeah,
there are these things. And then when you say to people like, yo, that's my bad, I didn't mean to say that, or that's my bad, I know I got a little crazy or whatever, people don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
Right? They don't want to hear your apologies for whatever the fuck you did. Either you really caused an issue, or people will dismiss it as like, nah, dude, you were drunk. We were all fucking drunk. Like, we all said some stupid shit. We all did some stupid shit. It's either one of those two. Like, you either go too fucking far, or it's all good.
Yeah.
Right? And that cultural acceptance is fucking really weird when you start to think about it. Like, there's a very high threshold for fuckery and nonsense because of alcohol. But then the scales tip, and then all of a sudden it's a thing, right? So I already have like the emotional hangover, which is interesting, right? Because I could have people over, we could all drink, I could get wasted in my own home, not drive, not do anything dangerous, not, it could have been a perfect night where we were just part like having a good time. Nothing happened. They go home safely. I wake up at a decent time. Nothing too fucking crazy. And I'll wake up feeling like I did something.
I've heard that there's a term for that. Hangxiety.
Hangxiety.
That's one reason why I don't even like drinking a little bit generally. Anxiety. Because I always have like low latent anxiety if I have been, like if I drank the night before or something like that. You know, and it depends on how much I drank. Like if I drink a lot, then I'll wake up with a lot of anxiety regardless of what I did. And I think that's like the neurology of your brain. It's the way that like the chemicals of alcohol affect your brain. So like if you're prone to sort of, even if you're not prone, I don't think I'm particularly prone to anxiety, but like it will definitely trigger massive anxious responses in me. And that's one reason I think people keep it going, is because you don't feel good mentally, like maybe not even physically, but you don't like the way you feel inside, even if it's subtle, and drinking sort of fixes it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the hair of the dog. Like
you've had that shit works. Nothing,
like, hey, let's go.
That shit works. You know, like you're fucking hungover and you order a Bloody Mary.
Yep.
You feel a little better. Like, yeah. It's sure like you're weaning yourself off.
Yeah. Yeah. Like now that I'm an old man about to, you know, head off into my sunset years.
Don't say it like that.
I just don't drink a lot. Like it's not something that I do a lot. Mainly because of the anxiety and because, you know, I'm ridiculous about my food and like healthy eating and exercising and all that kind of stuff. So it just doesn't contribute to that at all. And that goal, those goals are more important to me than alcohol.
But one thing I did notice, and I'm sure you noticed this too, is how much, and I don't know if it's just a Western society thing or an American thing, or I don't know what it is, or something prone to certain cultures or what, but almost the way that alcohol binds people, like it's you've heard it called a social lubricant. Like, it's like if everybody stopped drinking now, people, it seems to me like people would just be sitting in their houses, like doing nothing, like not talking to anybody. Not, it's like people need to go have drinks. Like that is the thing.
There's something about drinking with someone. Let's go get drinks. Depending on who you are to that person, that can mean a lot of different things. If you've never met that person before, or if they're like, you know, a possible date, that could be suggestive to something, right? That's like the first move. Hey, let's go get drinks. If it's a friend at work, it's kind of like, let's go hang out. It's significant. If you say, let's go get coffee, that means a completely fucking different thing. It's not like, yeah, it's no longer fun. It's no longer like, that might mean a little more businessy. I want you as a mentor. Like, I don't want you to fucking hang out with me though. And it's funny, right? Like, here you don't see that.
Yeah.
You don't see that because people don't really drink here. People drink here.
But they don't.
But they don't.
I don't think I should say this out loud, but I'm going to say it out loud.
Yeah.
Like I bet you a lot of dudes feel this way too, maybe. I mean, not there's some that are just on another level and don't give a fuck, but for some reason, like, pretty women cause a lot of anxiety in me when I'm talking to them. And like, if I was going out on a date or something, not a date, I mean, I don't think I ever really like traditionally dated. I'd always do random crazy stuff that they might call dates, but I didn't.
They're probably dates, dude. You just don't ever see them as dates.
Yeah, I just think that's
they were just like, oh, it was so well thought out, and he got very creative and took me on an adventure. You're like, no, this is my life. And you were just tagging along.
That's exactly what it is to me. Yeah, but like I get anxious and you know, maybe a little bit nervous. If I do like or see the potential of liking a woman, it kind of gets me nervous for some reason. And I noticed that.
I think that's normal.
Yeah, but see, I think it affects, I hesitate, my game, you know what I'm saying? But a couple of drinks and it's like, I forget all about her, like to an extent, like in terms of what she means to me. And I'm like, yeah, let's go on this fucking adventure. And I'm like 100% confident, no anxiety. And we're just out there like tearing up the world together. And then she ends up having a wonderful time. And then I'm like, what am I going to do now when I'm sober? Like,
what the fuck? Okay, bro. I told you I went to, I don't know if I want to tell this whole story.
Yeah, the club, sober.
Yeah. I got invited to a party that was at, a, like a bar club. And I showed up like 4 hours after they had already been drinking. So they were all, you know, they were fucking well lubricated. They were partying.
Well-oiled.
Everybody
machine.
Was fucking, well, it was a well-oiled machine. That's what it kind of looks like. It's sloppy. Cause if you're sober, when you're looking at this animal, it's very different. Like,
yeah.
I walk in, if I'm completely sober, I walk in and I get a shot. If I'm that far behind, I get a shot to just kind of like, okay, now I have to be another cog in this sloppy machine. But I'm sitting there with my tonic lime, and just like, there's no way I can engage. I make no sense in this scenario. I can hear myself. I'm like, you're just a fucking bore.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, I don't necessarily think it's true. I think that that's kind of like the perception, because how often do I go to the club for a party dead ass sober? Like, never.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'll go ahead.
No, you go. Because what I was going to say, I probably shouldn't.
Oh, I think part of it is the bad part for me, at least, about being like, you know, when you're drunk with somebody, you'll entertain drunken conversation. Like, yes. You're like, yeah, blah, 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 you know, and you get all hype about it and shit together.
Yeah.
I don't even feel like entertaining it. Yeah, I don't even feel like entertaining it when I'm sober. Like, I'm just like, it's just not fun to sit there and talk to a drunk person.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I actually, I don't know how, I now know that I don't know how to talk to a woman when she's drunk and I'm not.
Oh, I don't, well, I need to try that. I don't know what's the experience like. Describe it to me.
Much like what we were, like what we were just, no impressions. I'm such a, I'm like stiff as a board, bro. Like, I'm just, here's the thing.
You owe the audience an impression.
When you're drunk and they're just like, oh my God. And then I found out that he was a fucking Capricorn. I could totally sit there and I'm like, oh yeah, that totally doesn't make any fucking sense. Right. You and a Capricorn, forget it. But if I'm sober, that's not what comes to mind. And so I'm just not thinking on that level.
I don't give myself enough credit because I'm actually pretty good at entertaining all the woo 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 stuff, because, you know, I'm kind of,
yeah. Oh, I am too. We're both woo. Like, we both can get like that. It's different when they're drunk. It's, and I'm not just sorry. The Zodiac thing was just an example.
No, and a good example.
But you know, even I could. I love being a Leo enough to know some shit about the Zodiac, so I can hang. But what I'm saying is, in this particular case, he was upset about something. And what's interesting is that you still identify all the beats, you know? Like, the body language, the moment that you can kind of engage, right? The moment that you're like, okay, this is the time. If I had some drinks in me, no hesitation. It's like I'm reading and it's just happening. It's like a fucking video game. But at this point, I'm like, oh, fucking drunk and I'm sober and like, and this is, so it became like a moral thing. One, two, she was upset about something that happened that night. And I was just, I didn't have it in me to console her because it wasn't going to make, like, nothing I was saying that was logical was going to make any sense at that moment. Because I had already tried to have like a normal conversation, which is not, that scenario does not call for a normal conversation. Like, you're boring. That's not what they want. That's not what anybody wants at that moment.
Yeah.
You know what that was the same night that I got a random text from a number I didn't know that ended up being the girl that I had dated. And she said, I see you. I was like, cool. And I didn't know who it was at first, and I didn't see the picture, and I was just like,
she had to be drunk too to send some fucking psycho shit like that. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but that sounds fucking crazy. Like, I see, that's not
how you know, she, not necessarily, she did not have to be drunk to send some psycho shit like that.
That's crazy, dude.
So
it's like Scream the movie or some shit, like, I see you in your house, like, what the fuck. Haven't you seen horror movies, girl? Like, come on.
But you want to tell you something that I did observe, that it kind of, I felt totally out of place, and I didn't really know anybody, so it was really hard to like meet people when you have that dynamic, that scenario. So I was just like, I didn't feel great about it. I was like, I'm not going to get a drink, but I don't know how many more like these situations I can take. And then I saw him. The drunk, desperate dude that is trying to get laid so bad that he is the second hand embarrassment is exponential. So then it's third hand from people telling the story about this guy who go to watch this guy. If they're drunk and they're watching this guy, I'm sober, I'm watching him, and I'm like, and he, we're talking some really sad moments. I wanted to hug him and say, stop it. Just fucking
Brother, this go. This isn't working. Trust me.
Just go home. You know, count like fast, losses. And I fucking fast forward to the end. Just go home and fucking take care of it yourself. You'll be okay. But he, there were some moments that he was like talking to the girl. She's looking straight. I'm talking about those shoulders are fucking squared perpendicular to his. That, you know what I mean? That's like, she's not looking at you, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, she's like nodding but sipping. There's this thing about like this little thing where they have the straw and they're like, and sipping. That's kind of like, leave me the fuck alone. And he was like, not getting a response. I can't hear them, so I'm kind of just reading. And he stops and he goes, like, give me a high five. And he stands there. And I'm like, not this. Not this. Stands there. And then goes, Ed walks away.
Gave himself a high five.
He completed the circuit.
Completed the circuit.
And then, and now it wasn't just like, okay, dude, I've been shut down. I've been in really embarrassing situations. Not that bad, number one. But number two, and he just jumped right to the next one that looked in his direction. And he's just like, boom. Okay, this one. And this is, you know, I'm just going to say it. His targets got progressively just worse.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this happen. I'm watching it happen. Just like, it's so sad, by the way. What does that say about me? I'm just fucking sitting there, not talking to fucking anybody, not socializing a bit at this party. I'm just watching this dude just crash and burn over and over again.
I mean, that seems like, honestly, if you're sober, the most, maybe like entertaining but cringy thing to watch. Like, I think that's where my attention would have been too.
Yeah, I'm just like, this is sort of the worst. You know, like, I'm sure this guy. Know,
did you ever find one that you know of?
No, I mean, I left. He looked like a really, I'm sure he was, he's a really sweet guy, you know, when he wakes up and he's not drunk. And he started to get a little like butthurt aggressive, you know?
Yeah, like, fuck you bitches, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but like not saying it, just keeping it all right here.
But that was the vibe he was putting out.
Where eventually, yeah, oh, totally. After
it's
a while,
because the most attractive thing ever to
just
women.
Just walking away like this, just like, yup, knew that was gonna happen. Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's I couldn't take it anymore.
I wish a lot of times I was more like that guy, not as bad, but like he obviously just wants something, you know what I'm saying? Like my lame ass is always looking for like a fucking connection or something, which is honestly something I wish I could change about myself. Is that bad?
Is that bad? I think you're wrong. You know, I think for you it's like a real connection, and that's I am that way. I think it's kind of fucked me up, like dating wise.
Yeah, no, for real.
I'm really. If I don't feel that.
If I don't feel that, like almost immediately, like I just don't want anything to do with the interactions, which a lot of dudes will carry on those interactions to get laid.
Yeah.
And then just like, you know, a lot, you know, sometimes it ends up poorly, sometimes it doesn't. But like me, if I don't
sense that sort of deep connection almost immediately. Like, I'm not going to waste either of our times, which sometimes I maybe wish that I would, but I'm just not built like that. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think I'm like that too. What's weird is the texting afterwards. Like, after that first night of sheer boredom, what do I say? Hey, I had a great night. You're real sweet. But I'm just not that into you.
See, here's the difference between me and you.
I know, but I already know what you're going to say.
I'll ghost motherfuckers all day long.
I knew it. That's what you were going to say. I feel bad about it. I feel bad about ghosting. I've been ghosted. It's definitely backfired. I should have ghosted this one.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of dating. I think I'm just going to date myself. I'm the best fucking date. Oh, man, I know what I like.
I like my own company a lot, too.
Me too, man. I've gotten to the point where I just love my time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's why when the job gets in the way and kind of takes from my time, it's annoying, but it's just me, man. And people are like, I have accommodations at work, so people ask me, why do you go home every night? Or sometimes I'll stay there. But I'm just like, because I like my fucking space, dude. I like my apartment. I like my area that I've created to enjoy the time to myself the way I like to enjoy it.
100%. Yep.
And, you know, what's interesting is that the more I've done that, the more people seem to be kind of showing up, like calling. I'm getting a lot of random calls. People want to go out. People want to come over. People want to do that shit. Then I find myself saying no a lot.
Yeah.
I'll come up with something. Oh, yeah, no, I got. What do I normally say? I don't want to say this on here because if anybody listens, now they know my trick. But
that has gotten that text, they're gonna be like, "Wait, hold on a second."
They're like, "Man, fuck! He says that shit all the time." No, this is true. This is true. I take naps. I love my naps. I fucking love my naps. I love my naps so much that when I get in bed to curl up for a nap, I find myself smiling, like
or some shit. You like snuggle up to them.
I just like snuggle up, and then it's kind of it's a similar thing to how I feel about when I eat good food. It's the same feeling. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. And it's then like I fucking
healthy good feeling.
It is. It's a totally healthy good feeling. And because I go to sleep like that, I wake up like that. I wake up like, that fucking nap was exactly what I thought it would be, which was amazing. I get a lot of missed calls and texts during that nap. Just right in the middle of the day, you know what I mean? It's prime time of making plans for nighttime. So I'll be like, yo, sorry I missed your call. I was taking a nap. And they're like, for 3 fucking hours? And I'm like, that's how long my naps are.
What's that shit called? Biphasic sleep?
Yeah. You know, I tried that.
Did you really?
Yeah, but at one point... at one point my shit was so messed up that I was sleeping 3 hours at a time anyway. So it was like, well, what'll happen if I just get up and then later make up for it? And I started doing that without wanting to here. My sleep is kind of fucked.
Sounds like it.
There's one friend that I know, if he listens to this, which I doubt he will, he'll be like, I fucking knew. This dude, he's aware of everything.
Like,
actually, just anything. Like, he'll be like, so I heard that you blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what the fuck? How do you know this? There's a lot of talking in my in my line of work. It's very small. The Americans, are definitely a topic of conversation.
I always I don't know why that always sort of, I don't know if it upsets you, but it always upsets me
Why?
that I not like huge upset, but it just kind of like I roll my eyes and I'm like, keep my name out your fucking mouth. You know
Oh
what I
man,
mean?
no, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. So, and the thing is that, they try to pull me in. They come to me with that shit. And I'm just like, yo, just leave me out. Because I used to entertain it before, because honestly, sometimes the shit's good. Like,
No, I love listening to other people's shit. I just want you to keep me out of your mouth.
But see, that's the thing. Haven't you heard that saying? Like you, if a person comes to you and they're talking about someone, you can be sure that they're doing the same thing about you.
Yeah, 100%. Totally.
Right? So you kind of have to be ready for that.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes I try not to engage, but sometimes the shit is good. People be
Yeah,
talking
yeah.
shit and they're good at
Yeah, yeah.
it. Yeah, like
Totally.
some good fucking stories come out of that shit. The most interesting thing I think are the students.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. I guess that's all. I'll just stop there.
Yeah,
I don't even. I don't know if I'm supposed to. I can't talk about
that makes sense.
that. Yeah, I just can't. As much as I want to, because it's so much fucking fun.
We should have come up with like a different job, like create a narrative, but like you when you're reading a book or watching a movie and it's like, this is based on true stories, some elements have been changed.
Yeah.
I don't know if the legal system of where you are is the same, but you'd be like, no, man, I was just making that shit up.
The stories are just too good. Like, I'm collecting these. I think I could say that I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
And I teach high school students. And fucking high school boys are really, really fucking funny.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee it.
I've learned some bad words in Arabic. I
You
won't say
teach
them on
me?
here. No, I can't.
Right.
I don't. I can't, dude. It's because first of all, cursing in Arabic is so much different because it's like it has religious connotation.
My stepdad is speaks French, and the same thing is for the French. Like it's that their cursing is sacrilege. Like sacrilege is like they say. Like being, I don't know, my pronunciation is probably horrible, but being Christ or something like that, which means good Christ. But
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the equivalent of see you next Tuesday in like America. You know what I'm
Yeah,
saying?
I mean, it's like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, but it like has such a worse
Yeah,
connotation. Like it,
absolutely. So you're actually like cursing. It has impacts to the people around you. Yeah, that's how it is here because
Okay.
it's haram to do so. So it's, I mean, all right, I'll just tell you. I won't tell you who taught me this one, but I won't say it in Arabic. I'll just say what it means, just in case. I don't know. I don't know what the fucking rules are. Like, I don't want to get thrown in jail somehow. It essentially means, and they say it. They say it like, son of a bitch, like in that way, like that tone, that delivering, but it's your mother's pussy. I'm over here like, you can't say that. That's so much worse than what we say. But then again, and then I think about it and we say motherfucker, don't we?
Oh yeah, and it's
That's
interesting. Yeah, I asked some Argentinians to teach me like the worst thing that like the worst bad word you can say. And they came back unanimously with La Concha de la Lora, which
this is like a parrot
Yeah, no, it means like that's what literal translation is, but apparently it means
Well, I can guess what concha is.
Yeah, a prostitute's vagina.
Okay,
is like what the meaning behind it is.
Uh-huh.
And I found that interesting.
Yeah, that's funny. It's funny, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. The direct translation is always funny. Like, if you speak Spanish, and obviously, but English is your first language, your mind goes through that process of, like with slang, you translate it, and it's literal translation first, and then you fill in the blanks culturally, right?
Yeah.
But because of that first step, it's always funnier to me, because the direct translation is so fucking weird.
If I'm walking down an Argentinian street and somebody's like, La Concha de la Lora, and I type that shit into Google Translate, and I'm like, the parrot shell.
Context. I try to learn as much as I can. I'm really trying. I speak in like expressions or, you know, commands, words, like one, two words that have some meaning, or like sentences here and there. One of the elder Arab men, the Emiratis that work with me, he was teaching me some words. He saw that I was like interested in learning. Most of the time they won't really fuck with you, but like he saw that I was interested, so he like rolled up on me on his chair, and he started like pointing at facial features and telling me what they were, so then I would repeat them. And what was funny is that he was like pointing at my skin, and he goes, "You this Arabic. You this Arabic," pointing at my lips, saying, "I look Arabic. Like your features look Arabic."
Mm.
And then he pointed at my eyes, and he goes, "You this European." And I was like, white guy, yeah. I was like, there's now he found it. So it was interesting, because then, you know, I told him I'm Latin, like my parents are from Latin America. It's super interesting, like the way that people would see country like the UAE. They know Dubai. Maybe they know Abu Dhabi. But the UAE, like they don't know. They don't know where it sits geographically. They don't really know a lot about it. And that's understandable. You talk about Latin American countries, even well-known ones, same fucking thing. They don't know where the fuck it is on the map. Like locals here, like they've heard of Costa Rica.
That's one thing I don't understand. Like everybody, everybody expects everybody to be a fucking geography expert. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why the fuck? Why do I give a shit? No offense. I mean, I give a shit now about you because you're there. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just like, I got my own life to live. I'm sitting here chilling, playing a new Zelda and shit like that. Like, I'm not looking at maps. Like, what the fuck do you think?
It makes sense.
Yeah, but that's like the theme, is especially in terms of Americans. Like, I hear that a lot. Like, Americans don't know anything about the world and shit like that. And it's just like,
but they don't. But you know what? Americans, so from what I've seen, are the first ones to be like, you don't know where Wyoming is? And I'm like, geez, I don't fucking know where Wyoming is. Like,
I could say that.
Yeah. When I say Nicaragua, dude, I don't even expect Americans to know where the fuck. I don't expect Mexicans to know where Nicaragua is.
Hold on, I'm embarrassing myself here.
You don't know where Nicaragua is.
Is it close to...
I just told you.
Panama, Honduras, and Guatemala? Like, is it in that area?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like...
Central America. It's the funnel. You know what I mean?
Into South America.
Nicaragua is right in the middle.
Okay. Yep. Yep. So I did... knew where that shit was.
Yeah for sure. Now see, you totally knew. I mean, that's pretty damn close. I told you, I've told people like I'm from Nicaragua, and they're like, well damn, like, you don't look African. And I'm like, mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Rod and
You
Spear.
may. Fucking Rod and the Steer. Well, damn, man, you don't look African. Well,
Give me
shit,
a pure.
you a little light skinned, ain't you? Nope, you may be thinking of Nigeria. That's it. That's the one.
Maybe that's what people take issue with, that sort of interaction.
But that's just a
I find that kind
mild ignorance, man. That's not a big deal. It's funny.
it's you
Although
gotta.
I don't know if I told you this, when I was in high school, our SAT2 tests were late. Like, we had to move the dates because the tests were delivered late because they sent them to Nigeria. The
Oh,
SATs, the
so this
testing
is.
organization that tests for knowledge and, readiness for college, sent it to the wrong fucking country.
See, even those motherfuckers don't know where all this shit is.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty ironic. I think that's funny.
But
No,
yeah.
man, I culturally out here, dude, I love it. It's so interesting, especially seeing like you have Emirati culture. It is a very specific thing. They know who they are, they know what they're about, and they know what this country's about. That's it. Like, that kind of sums it up.
Yeah.
And you have the other Arab, like people from Arabic countries. It's cool, man. It's cool, like, learning as much as you can.
Yeah, I want to, when I come there, I want to go to one of those camel date farm things. That
Oh
sounds fun to
yeah.
me for some
Yeah, my did you're not on Instagram, so you don't see.
reason. No, I don't have any of that shit.
Yeah. there is a I took my parents to one of my friend's camel farms. Like, he raises camels. And they
Races,
fucking
right? Not raised.
raises and races.
Okay. Yeah, so both.
So both. Yeah. So he has his like prized camel. Cause I'm like, which one? It's funny because he doesn't speak English very well, and I don't speak like conversational Arabic at all. I'm like fucking level 0.5. So I try to get some things across, he tries to get some things across, but we always communicate in the end. It's always fine. So I'm like, it always starts like this. Which camel do you race? He goes, which means like what? Like, shoe? What? And I'm like, camel, camel. He's like, yes, camel. I was like, race, race. And he goes, yes, run. And I was like, I go, your camel, number one. And he goes, ah, number one camel. He goes, and I that he takes me.
Yes. Do they gamble?
No. They don't gamble, but they make money off of their fucking camels. You know what I mean? Like,
Do people
so
go
the
to like pay
government,
at
the
these races?
yeah.
Is it like horse racing, like that kind of size
Yeah.
and grandeur?
Yeah, but in the desert. And I think Al Ain, which is a really nice city, has a track where it's like that, like horse races. But this is more like Bedouin out into the desert, and they'll just the camels, and they have this little robotic monkey, like a fake
What?
monkey. It's like, I guess they used to. They're not camel jockeys, which is offensive, by the way. You shouldn't say that. They're not camel jockeys. Like they used to use monkeys, which is fucking
I would pay a lot of money to
what?
see that.
That's what I said. I got excited because when they were explaining it to me, this is what they said. So I'm like, oh, they use monkeys. I was like, get the fuck out of here. You're telling me there's a little monkey like holding on and racing this fucking camel? And they go, it's a fake monkey. It's a speaker, really. That's what it is. It looks like a monkey, but it's a speaker. So I guess they used to use monkeys. I want to look that up so that I'm not out here saying some crazy shit. But I think I think they used to. So anyway, they're like driving next to their camel, speaking into this thing that speaks to the camel to get them to
Wait, so it's
go.
like a car race and a fucking camel race?
Kind of, because you see all the fucking SUVs and then you see all the camels. Dude, it's so
What?
much fun. I haven't
Did you
been
go
to
to a
one
race?
live, and I have not been to a race.
You have to go. We have to go when I come out there.
Yeah, totally. They watch them, like they'll watch it like on their phone and shit. Like if they're not doing anything, they watch the camel races, because most likely if they're local, they probably know the person who owns that camel, right? Or the family who owns that camel. So they make money. They make a lot of money. Top prize is 1 million dirham. That's like $400,000.
Whoa, on a single race?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I mean, it's not common, right? Like, you got to
Why
be fucking.
don't you get into the camel business?
Because they are so. You have millions of dollars? And the
Seems
thing is,
like
you can buy. We could buy a camel.
it's not guaranteed to win.
It's probably some piece of shit cheap camel that they would have, that, got too old to eat. So
Yeah.
they're just like, well, he's around. Like, there you go. And then, because yeah, it's a business. It's a business for sure.
Interesting.
They breed camels, and then when they get that fucking, when they
It
get
streaming on,
that.
or is it on like,
No, it's on YouTube. You want to find you a link?
oh dude, I'm gonna spend the rest of my afternoon watching camel racing.
What's great is that I'm starting to hear like the announcer sounds like horse racing, and it's like, then he's coming up on the lead, like that thing, but it's in Arabic. So I'm listening to it, and one guy at work was like this dude was fucking when he was watching it, but he was like, I'm like, oh, this dude's invested.
Interesting.
Dude, fucking
We have to
cool.
get this dude. Yeah, how it would it be weird? So
No,
heavy.
dude, they're some of the kindest, hospitable, welcoming people. Like legit, they're fucking. If you're cool, they're cool. If you're
Awesome.
weird, like if you're like, if you're open, they're really cool. No, the when I took my parents was my friend's farm. Like, and he's the one. He hasn't. It's not racing season, so. They're not doing it right now. And he told me, he's like, yeah, we'll go. So no problem, man. We can go to a fucking camel race when you get here.
Let's fucking go. I like
Yeah,
this.
man. Camel race, and then they have date fest, like a
See,
date
that's so much
festival.
better than drinking to me, watching camels race and eating dates.
That's why they don't fucking need it, man.
Yeah.
They're out there smoking Doha,
What is
Minbar.
that? What is that?
Okay, so I thought it was just tobacco. Because did I tell you the story about when I first tried that
I don't think so.
shit? This was my first day at work. I meet this dude, Hamdan. He's a coworker. And this guy studied in the States, so he actually almost doesn't really have an accent. He sounds American. We hit it off, we started talking, and he has this little pipe. It's like this big, like a pen. He just throws some tobacco right here and hits it one time. And he's just, whatever. And I'm like, oh, that smells kind of nice. Like, it's like pipe tobacco, but it smells different. And I'm like, yo, what is that? He's like, oh, it's Midwa. He's like, he's like, you want to try it? I was like, no, I'm good, because I'm at work and I don't know what the rules are. It's first day. And he's like, I have a pipe, and he's like, I'll let you. He's like, come by the Majlis, and we'll try it. A Majlis is like a living room where they all just go in there and talk and smoke. So after work, I went in there. He was like, here you go, this is yours. So he like gifted me my pipe, and then he put some Doha in there, some Midwa, into the pipe, and he's like, all right. It's a little strong, so just be careful. I'm like, all right. Hey, I'm the most fucking stranger to this shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, let's do this. So I hit it, and it tastes really good. Like, It's fucking harsh right here. So harsh. And you feel it in your chest. It's kind of like if you've ever like inhaled smoking a cigar. That's how it feels
Oh.
like at first. It's like
Yep.
that. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, this is nice. I get it. And then it hit me, man, and I got dizzy. I was like, this shit's not gonna, if it's nicotine, it's not gonna affect me because, you know, I smoke here every now and then. It's not a big deal. So it hit, bro. I was doing backflips. I like had to like lay back and they start laughing. And they're like, yeah. And one of the guys, he comes up and I guess he told him in Arabic, like, tell him to finish it. We'll just say we don't really see eye to eye with this guy from day one, because this was day one. He says, he said, don't be a bitch, finish it. And I'm like, gotta call me a bitch. I can't even see, but I know that you're not gonna tell me that. So I do. And man, I was fucking spinning for a while, for like a good 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and then it subsides, and then it feels like your entire body is just loose, like you get like a body high.
Huh. What is it?
So it come to find out, Doha means dizzy. It's tobacco and various spices. And that's
Oh.
why there's different mixes. So I didn't understand that. Like if you go to one smoke shop and you say, I want Midwalk, and they're like, okay, Midwalk or Doha. They're like, okay. You want like one of these, like which is like a prepackaged little canisters branded and shit? Or do you want our mix? And they bring it out in this big fucking, like, it's always a Pepsi bottle or always a fucking Sprite bottle without the label. And then they just fill that shit to the top of whatever their shit is. And
Interesting.
then they just fill a little bottle for you, and then you're good to go.
Huh. So it's not like drugs, right?
Oh, it's like spice.
Yeah, interesting. Huh.
Yeah, super interesting. So that's what they smoke out here. So they used to be smoking their Doha, fucking yelling at camels. And that's not the only thing that they do. They also do these races up dunes, up fucking dunes that are like a wall. And these races are not by dune buggies. They're fucking full ass SUVs. They're just like restructured. So they have roll cages. They don't have a fucking hood. Some of them are just kind of broken down, and they just, dude, when you see them, they go up this thing and they're just like, wop, 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 wop. And you just see flames coming out of the fucking engine. Just wop. And like some of them, the whole point is to fucking make it, to see who makes it to the top first. But a lot of times they don't even fucking make it. So if you make it, you're a boss. Like you got a beast of a car. And everybody's just like, yeah, that shit falls back. Rolls down the hill, gets set
What?
on fire.
Dude, see, that sounds like good fun. See, we need to not have alcohol here so we do shit like that.
No, dude, and it's great. Like all the fucking, yeah, you can imagine. It's everybody, like not just dudes. Like it's everyone comes out there and they all want to watch it. So what they'll do is they'll maybe set up, especially during the winter, they'll set up these like beautiful tents. Like out in the desert. Here they do it's glamping for sure. Like this shit is like Harry Potter style fucking tents.
Yeah.
And they have you walk in and they have couches and cushions and it's extravagant and their tea and their coffee and their fucking big screen TV and you can chill in. And then right outside they have their grill where they grill all their meat and shit. And then they're just watching I mean, dude, it's like a good time. All their kids are running around, the
That
kids are
sounds
like
incredible.
wop, wop, wop. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, that it sounds right up my alley.
Right now it's too damn hot.
Yeah.
Let me see. I think yesterday was 105 was
Whoa.
the high. And it's gonna get worse.
Well, stay cool.
Thanks, dude.
No, I like it, man.
But the place is cool. Like the people are cool.
We need to
It's good
like
shit.
have you heard of, I mean, of course you've heard of Ernest Hemingway.
Yes, I've heard of
One
that
thing
guy.
that when asked about his writing style, he said,
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Sorry. I know.
Like, yeah, I stop when I still have something to say. Because then I know exactly where to pick up the next time, and I don't have to wait for inspiration and things like that.
That so we is such a clever and subtle way to say, let's wrap this shit up.
Usually you're the master of these things. I like hearing these stories. We always have shit to talk about. Lessons
we always
to learn.
Have shit. Yeah, and we didn't really even talk about anything that I wrote down.
We didn't talk about anything I wrote down either.
Perfect.
I had a list of like 7 things and we didn't hit a single one of them.
No, and I ended up writing some shit down where I'm like, oh, I want to get into this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why we didn't do this before.
We should have been doing this the entire time. But that's the way life goes, my friend.
It's not road rants without its fucking hiatuses.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We sing to us.
Well, yeah, exactly. All right, well, shit, let's do this again next week, and then after that, we can do that shit in person.
Yeah, dude, we got to. Have to. Totally have to.
It's going to be good.
Yep.
All right, well, shit, I'm going to get ready for work and play some Zelda.
Awesome, man. We're cooking a brisket for 4th of July. I'm going to go take it to Sam's house.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Fucking cooking brisket?
$5 worth of fireworks. Y'all I'll have to tell you that.
Y'all are some American motherfuckers, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, American as fuck. All right.
All right, brother.